I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Well, welcome. I'm Solazar, and this is Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. Now, the Rhoda Psychic Fair has been a constant in Monterey County for the past 34 years. Our last fair was October 21st and 22nd. Our next event is October 13th and 14th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. So I encourage you to sign up for the email list on rhodapsychicfair.com and goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified about the upcoming events, including our quarterly preview coming up March 30th at the Monterey Elks Lodge. So get on the list and be informed. You know, last week, Kirilani brought us up to date on the energy of February with the focus of the month and the year on relationships. If you missed any part of that broadcast, you may visit the podcast page of Good Vibrations Radio. The link is on the homepage of goodvibrationsradio.com. Click on the link, go directly over to the podcast page. You can not only listen to it online, or you can download it to listen at your convenience later on. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies as well. This show shares a variety of metaphysical subjects. For those who listen regularly, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. Allen chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. Allen wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, beliefs, and actions. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, beliefs, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. For the 12th day of the month, James Allen shares, every circumstance has two sides. Your difficulty is not contained primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. If something you consider bad happens in your life, there has to be something good about it. If it was only a little bad, when you work your way back around to the other side, you may find it only has a little good. In Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill told us, every adversity, every failure, and every heartache carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. At the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, Celine Dion performed The Power of Dreams, and the lyrics say, "Deep within each heart, there lies a magic spark that lights the fire of our imagination. Your mind will take you far. The rest is just pure heart. You'll find your fate is all your own creation." Every circumstance has two sides. Now, I've shared many times in the past that I have a series of prayers and affirmations I use each day to help me focus on the positive. I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do a gratitude affirmation. I do Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations, and I collect a positive thought from the Daily Word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. And the Daily Word for Monday, February 12th, says, "Open to infinite love, I practice peace." Make this your mantra for February 2018. And that brings us to our segment host for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday each month from 5 to 6 p.m. Let's have a little musical introduction to Dr. Arne Buss.
Listen to the song here in my heart. A melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
Welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss. Speaking of listening, it's about ways of improving relationships of all kinds by listening from your heart. Currently, my workshops are on hiatus for a little bit, but I hope to start them up again in the spring. However, I'm still doing individual and couple work, so for more information, you can contact me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com, all one word, consciousawareheart.com, and check out the webpage, www.consciousawareheart.com. Now, listening is much more about hearing what the other person is saying. If you've ever heard somebody say, "You're not listening to me," that's probably an indication that you are not being fully present to what they're saying. So even if you're able to repeat back word for word what the person said, when they say that you're not listening, what they're really saying is that you're not giving me the full attention that I really want in this moment. So listening is about really engaging in a dialogue in which you're not speaking so much as engaging in understanding the message the other person is saying. So today, I'm going to talk some more about some barriers to effective listening, some things that we often do that get in the way of our being as effective as possible in that moment. And I'll talk a little bit more about my favorite way of being an effective listener called tracking. I'll give some examples and some benefits, and then talk a little bit about something I call a gentle challenge, which is which is a way of moving the conversation forward. So the biggest barriers to effective listening boil down to two basic categories. One is offering advice or suggestions or solutions. And we all do it. If somebody presents a problem, our first instinct is to try to fix it. So how do we fix it? We fix it by giving him advice. Well, here's what I think you should do. Or give a suggestion. Or offer a solution. Well, you know, what really works in this situation is so-and-so. The second main category that is a significant barrier has to do with judging, blaming, or criticizing. And we can be judgmental without saying a word. So even if in your head you're thinking, boy, this guy just doesn't get it, or that person really needs to get their act together, or boy, they're saying something really stupid. Even if we're just thinking that, it comes across. What we're thinking on the inside often comes out, even if we're not saying anything. You know, they talk about so much of communication being nonverbal, and I found that to be the case. In fact, that's one of the main benefits of this tracking approach, is that it helps to get to the hidden message, to the message that lies beneath the words. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some more about these barriers, you know, advice. Now, I have a few quotes about advice that I think summarizes why it's not always the best way to interact with someone. First quote is by Harry Truman, our former president, and he said, "I have found the best way to give advice to your children is to find out what they want and then advise them to do it." So in a way that connects a little bit with tracking, in the sense that when you track somebody, you help facilitate them to find their own solution. Now, Truman was kind of explicit about it, but I think that's sage advice, if you will. Erica Jong has a quote that says, "Advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer but wish we didn't." And that is so true. A lot of times people will ask for advice when they really know what they need to do, and they're just kind of looking for a way out. Going back a little further in time, I'm going to mangle this name. His name was François de la Rochefoucauld, and he lived in the 17th century. Sounds French. And he said that old people like to give good advice as a consolation for the fact that they can no longer set bad examples. And the Marquis de Lagrange, an 18th century statesman, said, "When we ask for advice, we're usually looking for an accomplice." And that, too, has been consistent with my experience. And finally, my favorite quote about advice, which is anonymous, and it goes, "Socrates was a Greek philosopher who went around giving people good advice. They poisoned him." So the point of this is that offering advice and solutions, even if somebody is coming to you asking for them, is not the most effective way to start. The most effective way I've found to start is to really understand where they're coming from. You see, if we give advice without really deeply understanding what the issue is that the other person is presenting, what their message is, then we're really projecting our own stuff. Now, it's important to understand where the issues lie. And I'm talking about situations where there is some kind of a charge. If we're talking about just normal conversation, then you don't need any of this stuff. You just talk. I mean, it's okay to just talk. Where effective communication, especially effective listening comes in, is when there is an issue. And there's what I call the continental divide, which is, it's either mine or it's yours. There really is kind of a third one where it's neither one, or maybe it's both of ours. But usually most issues boil down to either it's my problem or it's your problem. And if somebody is coming with a problem, it is almost always theirs, even if what they're doing is criticizing. So if the other person has a problem, then track them. And if you're not familiar with tracking, I'll describe it in a moment. You may be familiar with similar approaches like active listening or deeply engaging with someone or even things like imago dialogue. And tracking, I found, really takes the best elements of so many other communication approaches to listening. So if the other person is the one with the problem, then the response is to track. And tracking helps guide them, you're not really guiding them, but it helps to facilitate them finding their own solution. And that's always the most effective. And as I said before, what I call the pains in the ass, advice, suggestions, and solutions, are stumbling stones to that. Now, the other side of the continental divide is something where it's my problem or your problem. And in that situation, you want to address your needs. In other words, if something is happening that's not okay, it's not acceptable, the idea is to use what I call an impact statement, which I'm not going to talk about a lot here. I've talked about in other segments, and we'll talk more in the future. But basically, an impact statement can be thought of as really tracking yourself. And in the process of that, you often find that there are things that you maybe were a little bit unclear about. The reason I talk so much about tracking is because even if you're offering an impact statement, which is to address your needs, if you encounter resistance from the other person, then the tracking skill is really what needs to kick in to understand what the reason for the resistance is. And if there's no mutually acceptable solution that kind of comes out of this, and I found that much of the time it does, but sometimes there are still fundamental conflicts, then you can use a heart-centered negotiation to find some mutually acceptable outcome. Now, let's talk about a little bit about judging and criticizing. If you ever find yourself judging or criticizing someone, it's really an indication that that you're not okay with yourself somewhere. And here's why. That if something is going on that's not okay, then the most effective way to address it is in a way that doesn't criticize or blame. Because if you're seeking some kind of change in the other person, then coming from a place of criticism is not the most effective way to get that. Nobody likes criticism. And most of us, if not all of us, as soon as we hear something critical, our defenses go up. It's like shields up. The problem with that is that if our shields are up, then we're really not open to hearing useful information. Now, one pushback I sometimes get on this is that, well, does that mean I can't have an opinion about anything? Well, no, of course not. It's important to understand the distinction between judgment or criticism and discernment. So what's the difference? You know, judgment and criticism is pointing the finger at someone else, saying that they're wrong, that there's something wrong with them. A judgment has an emotional charge. Discernment, on the other hand, does not blame or accuse anyone of anything. It's simply observing what is. It has no emotional charge, like a video camera. So even if something is going on, which is not okay, then use discernment to observe what is happening and describe it as if it were a video camera. Because a video camera has no opinions. It has no judgment. It just records what it sees. Now, moving back to when you hear someone say that they have a problem, even if it's a problem with you. If you hear a problem, your immediate response is most effectively to try to track them. When you hear a message that's a little unclear, then it's helpful to track. When you hear feelings being expressed, then tracking is the most effective way. If you're asked a question whose intent you don't understand, then the most effective way is to track the intent of the question. If somebody says, you know, why did you do that? And you're not sure why they're asking, they may be simply seeking information, or they might be kind of hiding a criticism beneath it. And if you don't understand, you track it. Indeed, whenever you feel criticism, then tracking is very helpful. And I've been talking about tracking, and I'll get to it in just a second. Now, an important element of tracking is your state of mind, your attitude. So if I'm tracking someone with a problem, I need to be willing to help facilitate them to find their own solution. I need to be willing to put aside my own opinion about it and help and understand where they're coming from. I need to feel accepting of the other person. If I'm not feeling accepting, if I'm judging or criticizing them or thinking that they're, oh my God, you know, they must be crazy to think this, then that's not a good attitude to do tracking. So you need to be able to put aside your own feelings, at least temporarily. It's not forever. It's not your feelings are certainly important. Your thoughts are important. But in that moment, it's most effective to put it aside and deeply understand where the other person is coming from. And to do that, you need to be really accepting of yourself. Think of how accepting of yourself you must be to say, I'm gonna put aside my feelings now for the next few minutes and just focus on what this person is trying to express. And am I willing to devote the time right in that moment to track? Now, some pushback I sometimes get is, you know, a tracking, it takes so long, and, you know, I don't have time to go through a... And that can certainly be true when you're first learning it. It was certainly true when I was first learning tracking. But over time, I have found that tracking is the most efficient and effective way to get to a resolution. So in the long run, becoming skilled at tracking actually saves time. Okay, so now what about tracking? Now, it's kind of like active listening, if you've heard that, but it's really on steroids. It's being fully present to the other person, putting aside your own agenda, as I said, and in a way, being as invisible as possible. What this allows the other person to really kind of go inside a little bit. And what you're ideally facilitating is moving them from a reactive place to a heart-centered place. Now, the one reactive place is the child and the victim. And the other reactive place is the parent or the judge. And if a person is in those, then they're being reactive. And there's another way to describe it is being unconscious. If they're in their aware heart, and that's why I give the name conscious aware heart, because being conscious and aware of your heart and being in your heart is really the most effective place to be. So a consequence of keeping all the focus on the speaker has to do with the language that you use. And the first rule is to avoid any pronoun that includes you, that is the listener. That is, don't use the pronoun I or me or my. And that immediately eliminates one of the boilerplate things that you may have heard from if you've learned active listening, which often says things like, oh, I hear you say, and if I hear you right. Tracking doesn't use those phrases because they have the word I in them. Instead, there are two magic words, and that is, so you, the two magic words, so you, or sometimes just so. And in fact, many times an active listening statement can be turned into a tracking statement by just removing I hear you say and replacing it with so or so you. Another phrase to avoid is I understand, because chances are you don't. And whether even if you do, if you say you understand, then the other person is likely to say, well, no, you don't really understand. So don't even go there. So the only pronoun that is used in tracking is you, and often in the so you. Now, tracking goes through what's sometimes called the four W's, and they are what they're saying, why they're saying it, what they're feeling, and what they want. Now, many forms of communication just focus on the what. And if what the person is saying is clear, then you skip right over that. You go more to the why. And depending on how strong the feelings you hear expressed to, you can go to the want. So I want to give you a few examples. Here's a common one. You're having an interaction with maybe your significant other, and at some point they say, "You're not listening." Now, usually what you will say is, "I was too listening." And often the next thing that they say is, "Well, then, what did I just say?" Now, here's the interesting part. When the other person says, "Well, what did I just say?" many times you're able to repeat almost word for word what they did say. Now, if you can't, then in a way they're right that you haven't been paying attention. But in those situations, the chances are that you were only paying attention with a portion of your consciousness, that there was another part of it that was either mentally disagreeing. Maybe there was a part of you that was just kind of waiting for them to stop talking so you could say what you wanted. Or maybe as they were talking, you were formulating your reaction to them or your rebuttal, as it were. And the amount of mental energy that you're spending on that is something that people notice. So if you hear somebody say, you know, "You're not listening," then that's very useful information. But it doesn't have to do with whether you were actually hearing the words or not, but it has to do with the energy that you were bringing into the conversation. And if you counter with, "I was too listening," then in a way you're invalidating what they were saying. They're saying you weren't listening. That's where they are. So if you say "I was listening," you're contradicting them. In a way, you're judging them. You're saying, "No, you're wrong. I was listening." So what do they want? So here's a tracking response. Might be something like, So you want to be assured that the full attention will be given to what is being said. That's really the message. Or you might say, "So you want to feel heard, and it hasn't happened to your satisfaction yet." Or do you want to feel fully heard. Or there's something that you feel hasn't been understood yet, and you want that to be gotten. So you see that, notice that there's no "I" in there. Just as a side note, you've all heard the saying about there's no "I" in team. It seems that there was a married couple that had been married for many, many decades, and someone was asking them, "So what's the secret? And what's the secret to your longevity?" And the husband answered, says, "Well, it's because I realize that there's no I in marriage." And the wife said, "My secret is I never correct his spelling." So there's no I in tracking. So here's some more examples. Somebody might say, "So you made me do it." Now, you know that that's almost always not factually correct, because you can't make anybody do anything. But that's how they feel. So you respond to the message, "You made me do it." So you feel you had no choice. See, that's what's being expressed. They felt that they were being made to do it. And so if you say something like that, it helps them to, take a look at that. Or, when you hear these general ones, another might be, "You're always putting me down and criticizing me." So you want to be accepted, and you feel it hasn't helped, you haven't been accepted the way that you really want. Or here's another one. You just keep resisting everything I try to do or say. So you want to have support for your ideas. See, it's always best to go with positive things. So if say you just keep resisting everything I do or say, see, now you could have said something like, so you haven't felt supported yet. And that wouldn't be bad. But I think it would be a little bit more effective to be positive. You know, so you want to have support for your ideas. And then maybe add, and you feel it hasn't happened yet to your satisfaction. Now think about how would you respond to many of these? In my experience in working with people, a lot of times these tracking responses are things that they never hear. You know, just some other, you know, I mean, even criticisms, you know, so you're just so darn selfish. So you feel you've gotten the short end of the stick too often. Just kind of, you know, go where they are. So the benefits of tracking are that they express caring and understanding, even in the face of criticism. They help the person recognize and deal with their feelings. They help to build trust, because when you're tracking somebody, you are accepting of them, even in the face of some of these criticisms. See, the meta message of tracking is that the relationship is more important than whatever's going on in this moment. And the relationship is more important than any disagreement or any immediate trouble that we're having. And what often goes south in relationships is that you get these thousands of paper cuts. You get lots of these little annoyances that just build up. And over time, then, the relationship starts to go south. Tracking is an effective way to turn that whole thing around. It helps build connection. It helps create an opportunity for every problem to become a vehicle for deepening the relationship. It builds trust, because if the other person knows that they can come with whatever's going on with them and they'll still be accepted, then they'll trust more. It fosters self-acceptance, because if you know that you can be with somebody who is maybe pointing the finger or maybe criticizing you and still maintain your own boundaries, maintain your own self-esteem, and foster the relationship, then in a way it builds your own self-acceptance muscle. It promotes warmth in relationships. Now, my final topic for today has to do with gentle challenges, and I've spoken of these before, but they're a very key aspect of tracking. In a way, they're kind of an advanced topic in tracking. But if you've been listening to this segment for a while, then you're definitely ready for it. So a gentle challenge, one way that it comes up is when it comes out that a speaker, the person you're listening to, is in a sense trying to hold two contradictory thoughts but doesn't realize it. Another indicator that a gentle challenge will be useful is when the speaker is kind of circling around the same, they keep coming back to the same thing. They're kind of stuck on it. So the gentle challenge is a tracking tool that helps move the dialogue forward when it's gotten stuck. So, and instead of telling the person directly, what a gentle challenge does is it helps them recognize it in themselves. And sometimes what you want to do is just give a slight exaggeration of what's being expressed. And I'll give some examples in just a second. And sometimes it helps them see how their point of view is maybe limited by their thoughts. It's extremely useful when somebody expresses in as many words that they have no other option, they have no choice. In almost all circumstances, there are a choice. There are choices. And many times that the way you formulate the general challenge is such a way that the answer is actually no. The operative word in a general challenge is gentle, not challenge. This is something that I took me a while to understand. I got the challenge part down pretty quickly. It was the gentle part that that took me a while to really internalize. The tone of voice is absolutely critical. So here are some examples. So if somebody's, you know what so-and-so did? He was like the fifth time that he left his clothes on the floor, and the gentle challenge would be, the key is that this is something that's happened again and again. And, and you say, so, and you've discussed it with him. Yeah, I keep telling him again and again and again, but he keeps doing it. And so you're okay with that. Well, no, I'm not okay with that. So even though you've discussed it with him, and it hasn't changed, you feel that there's nothing else that can be done. You see how you just kind of go step by step, just kind of peeling the onion back. A lot of times when you say, and you've discussed it with them, well, no, they should just do it. So then you expect the change to happen without discussing it, without any conversation. Another useful one is, so you've discussed it with them and nothing has changed. So now you have no choice but to allow it to continue. Again, it's the no choice. Because, see, when someone is expressing that they're stuck and they have no choice, then you just kind of show that to them. And, you might say, and so maybe you're willing to accept that it won't change. Well, yeah, well, no, So you're willing to accept what is unacceptable to you. See, that just kind of brings it all together. Another might, but you have no idea why this has continued. So the idea of gentle challenges, again, just gently, in a way, it's kind of holding a mirror up to what they're saying. When it's, the effective way to address your needs would be with this impact statement idea that I've discussed elsewhere. And that approaches it in a heart-centered way. The chances are, in a situation like this, that the other person was approached with judgment or criticism. And as I mentioned, when we're approached with judgment or criticism, our barriers tend to go up, and sometimes we tend to resist. We may think, you're not the boss of me. Who are you to tell me what to do? If you come at someone with energy, with judgment, with criticism, then that's the likely response. Whereas if you come at them gently but firmly and track any resistance, then there's a much better likelihood of having a positive outcome. So in this example, probably a more effective way to address the needs of this is something like, I've noticed every morning that there have been clothes left on the floor. And when that happens, I find I'm unable to really enjoy the ambiance of the room. I'd like to be assured that clothes will be put in the hamper or put in the laundry where they belong. There's a big difference between that and, you know, every day this week, you know, you've thrown your clothes on the floor and I keep telling you and nothing ever changes. That's likely to meet resistance. And you can use gentle challenges if there's resistance. Say, well, you know, it's easy for me to, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. I don't mind it. Ah. So then if I were doing something that wasn't okay with you and refused to change it, that would be okay with you. Well, no. Ah. So I'd like to find a way that it's not too much trouble and I can still have the clothes not be on the floor. So this time I have talked about some barriers to effective listening. I've talked a little bit more about tracking, given some examples and some benefits, finished up with gentle challenges and some ways of addressing your needs. I've touched a little bit on impact statements, but haven't gone into them in such great depth, and that will be for another time. But until then, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate your joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every second Monday at a little after 5 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And to learn more, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com, all one word. Like me on Facebook at Aware Heart. I have a Twitter at effect5com. That's effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And my website is www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.
So that was Dr. Arnie Buss, and speaking of listening, you can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com to connect over to his website if you didn't get that information. So I want to remind folks that on Friday, December 29th, we held an online quarterly preview. There was myself, Joyce Day Muse, and Kirilani, and we shared the energy of 2018 as well as the details about the months of January, February, and March. Now, at that time, I drew the card of the King of Water from the Osho Zen Tarot deck as a transition card to 2018. And the primary message was to rid yourself of prejudice, allow yourself to be empathetic toward others before passing judgment. Now, surrender to the love in your heart. And that's essentially an energy we get to carry forward for this entire year. I mean, the card for the year is all about change. We can expect that the only unchanging thing in life is change. We're going to be facing change after change after change. And the card for February is Beyond Illusion that says, don't look outside for what's contained within. So this year is about this internal change we're all going through. But surrender to the love in your heart and deal with it through love. Now, there are several energy shifting events this week, and tomorrow, February 13th, is Shrove Tuesday. So remember to eat your pancakes. And Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, plus Valentine's Day. And so for those who fast for Ash Wednesday, there may not be any chocolate until Thursday. And Thursday is the big celestial event for this week. We have the Aquarius new moon at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time, coupled with the solar eclipse. So this month is not merely the launch of a moon phase, but a dramatic and exciting blast off into realms unknown for all of us. The tumult of the past 8 years is going to be put behind us as we move forward into the new journey of our life. So As I mentioned, the new moon is also that solar eclipse, which is the cosmic reset button in direct response to last August's total solar eclipse at the end of Leo. So the new moon is taking place without the fanfare of the Leo eclipse, which suits Aquarius because Aquarius prefers to do its own thing anyway. But consider your past 6 months in terms of comfort with your uniqueness, with the unique you of who you are. How has your understanding of yourself grown? What have you embraced more fully? What characteristics, activities, and talents have you come to appreciate and allowed to come out from you? So while an Aquarius moon tends to enhance the intellect, it's also getting an extra boost from Mercury, which is currently in Aquarius. So data is flying at supersonic speeds. It's hardly traveling safe, familiar, or predictable territories. Information is going to be coming at us. Insights are going to be coming at us. This moon will provide those insights, bring new, unexpected information, new perspectives, perhaps even a plot twist or two to our lives. Flashes of brilliance can be expected. And the upheaval of the past 8 years, some of it brought on by that Uranus-Pluto square that we went through, was also enhanced by Uranus's residence in Aries. And with the shift, beginning with this eclipse, we're going to be moving out of that upheaval into a more stable forward projection. Now, Uranus is in the last several degrees of Aries and will move into Taurus at 8:16 a.m. Pacific time on May 15th. So 2 months, Uranus will be in Taurus, which is more stable, more predictable, and more grounded. During this period, relationship shifts that have been brewing, they will shift. So what has been expected will disappear. Situations that have been stalled will suddenly awaken. So dream big, dream wild, and strap in tight. Because of expansive Jupiter and Scorpio squaring the new moon, the action and noise level of this transit will be expanded. It will be turning up the volume and not being able to sleep at night because of the noise from the volume of this. It is going to be large. Any initial intellectual confusion will clear up when Mercury moves into Pisces this coming Saturday, February 17th at 8:28 a.m. So know that Aquarius will fuel your intuition, your guidance, your inner knowing, and you'll have to rely more on that than your intellect during the initial phases of this new moon and solar eclipse until Mercury makes its move on Saturday. Just know that this new moon solar eclipse is taking you where you need to go in your life. In addition, Friday, the 16th, is Chinese Lunar New Year. It's the year of the brown earth dog. So we're leaving the year of the fire rooster. And the rooster is the sign of dawn and awakening, triumph and success. So last year was the time for all of us to awaken. Was all of us to get that sense of self, that sense of who we are, who we truly are, not who we've been trying to be. So in a rooster year, success is always achieved through slow, steady, persistent action, hard work, and patience. It's not automatic. It's not a given. So last year was a year of searching for the truth of what you do, what you want, and whether you were doing what's needed. And this year of the brown earth dog will be a quiet year where loyalty, honesty, and prudent action is rewarded. It's a time to be watchful and not take quick action. Be cautious with your money. Avoid too much worry, since everything will turn out fine. But when things are done, they will be done in the most efficient manner. A slower, more cautious year than the bruising pace of 2017. As we close, I want to once again share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology, In the Midst of Hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. And I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against you, within you, there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. Whatever you give, do so from your heart. Open to your inner shaman. Practice being non-judgmental. Practice being in balance. Practice holding all experiences as sacred. Do your daily practice of gratitude by saying, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Choose to express from love in all of your encounters. I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. Accept yourself fully. I accept and love myself unconditionally. And open yourself fully to love using this affirmation. I surrender all to love. Express and heal yourself love by doing the Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You are not the victim. You have a choice. For all of you listening this week, your life will begin to shift so you can reach your dreams in 2018. Whatever you give, do so from your heart. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. If you have any questions or missed any elements, send me an email at solazar@gmail.com. That's solazar@gmail.com. Many blessings. We'll talk again Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. with Joyce Muse right here. Remember to turn the lead in your life into gold. Namaste. Good vibration.